Psalm 12, verse 1 is the words of our text today. I'd like you to note the verse, and I'd like to encourage you to learn it. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. That's a very appropriate text for the situation in which our land is found at this time. The theme of the message this morning is how to live in bad times. And the reality, brethren and sisters, just to reinforce it upon your hearts today, the reality is that we live in such times, bad times. They're bad times politically. There's no stability in government, either here or across the water in London. They're bad times morally. The tide of evil is coming in around us like a flood. Think of all the support there is today for abortion and same-sex marriage and so on. They're bad times spiritually. There's not as much interest in the things of God as once there was, and the gospel of Jesus Christ is under attack from every side. There's not a doubt that we live in bad times, in dark days. And one of the greatest causes for concern and for lamentation among us as the Lord's people is the great decline there is in godly people, godly men and women in the land. There's not as many godly, faithful saints of the Lord that's found in this country of ours as once there was. The fact is, we live in days of which the psalmist speaks, even here in this text of ours. Notice what he says. The godly man ceaseth, the faithful fail from among the children of men. Those words are descriptive of the day in which we live. In the previous chapter, Psalm 11, the psalmist saw the foundations failing. That's appropriate to the day in which we live as well. If the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? And here in Psalm 12, he sees the faithful vanishing from the earth. And brethren and sisters, we're witnessing that very same thing in our land today. The faithful, those that are faithful to the Lord, they're vanishing from our midst. And that decline in the number of godly people is caused by two things in particular. One, by death. Many of God's servants have been taken home to glory, promoted to higher service. That has been emphasized to us in this church over the last 3 months or so in the number of deaths that we have experienced of dear brethren and sisters in Christ. But the decline in the number of godly people is also caused by departure. Others have grown cold. They have backslidden, fallen away in the things of the Lord. What a warning to our hearts. He that thinketh he standeth, let him take heed, lest he fall. But there are those that are now taken up with worldly things, no longer going on with God. And maybe there's some in our number today, and you're found in that very condition. So be in no doubt, brethren and sisters, the times are bad. And the truth is that they're going to get worse. They're not going to get better as the end of the age approaches. That's something that's clearly and repeatedly taught in the scriptures themselves. Paul said to Timothy that evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The evil men, the seducers that we see in our society, they're going to wax worse and worse. Notice the emphasis there that's placed. Paul said in the Thessalonians, for that day, talking about the day of the Lord, the day of his return shall not come except there come a falling away first. The word that's used there, the falling away, is the idea of apostasy. It's where we get the word apostasy. There's going to be a falling away. There's going to be a great end time apostasy before the coming again of the Savior. The Savior in Matthew 24, his great Olivet discourse, said, because iniquity shall abound, The love of many shall wax cold. There's going to be abounding. Think of that. An abounding of iniquity. And the warning to us, there is the love of many. We need to be careful about that. That our love for Christ and his service does not grow cold. The Saviour said, when he was teaching the parable, telling the story of the unjust judge, men ought always to pray and not to faint and so on. He said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? What a sobering warning that is, brethren and sisters. So the reality is, the end time is going to be marked by dark and evil days. Can I point out to you, can I make it clear that ultimately this psalm, the words of this psalm, speak of the future? This is one of the prophetical psalms, talks about the end time. Can I point out to you, brethren and sisters, that many psalms have a prophetical message? Many of the psalms point to the time of the end, to the days preceding the Saviour's return. Always remember that as you read them. It will help you. It will give you a better understanding of the things that you're reading. So this is a prophetical psalm. It points to the future, but it also speaks of the present. It applies to the days in which we are found, the days in which we live. It sums up the circumstances that we face as we look out upon society, as we look out upon our land today. We live in bad times and wicked days. As Isaiah declared, truth has fallen in the streets. Truth and righteousness is under attack. Paul taught the Thessalonians, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Remember, he said that some 2,000 years ago. The spirit of evil is already abroad. It's already at work. The spirit of Antichrist. The spirit of anti-Christianity that is so prevalent in our land and across the earth today. And there's a cause for fear. There's a cause for fear for the future of the church. A cause for fear of the future of the work of God. But here, brethren and sisters, is the vital question. Consider it carefully this morning. How do you live in such days? Especially as a Christian. And how do you live for the Lord in such dark and evil days? Well, this text, this verse of Scripture before us holds the answer. That's one of the reasons why it is so important. And I say to you, let us consider together carefully what it teaches about how to live as a child of God in bad times. Can I emphasize, first of all, the matter of supplication? There's a reference here to prayer. The text says, help, Lord. And I want you to see clearly that in this dark time, what the psalmist did was he looks heavenward. He looks to the Lord. He cries out for the help of heaven. He cries out for the Lord to step in. He cries out for divine intervention. And brethren and sisters, that's what we need to see in our land, in our province, in our nation as a whole. At this time, we need divine intervention. And brethren and sisters, can I say to you that in these words, in this heart cry of the psalmist, he's reminding us of the importance of prayer at such a time and at such an hour. Prayer is vital at all times in the Christian life, in all situations, but it's especially vital in dark days. And sometimes, as believers, we need to be reminded of that fact. It's something that's emphasized repeatedly in the Scriptures. The psalmist said in Psalm 50, call upon me in the day of trouble. What do you do in the day of trouble personally, in the day of trouble nationally? You call upon the Lord. You cry out to him in prayer. And he says, I will deliver thee. What a promise of hope and confidence that gives to us. Think of Peter in prison. Acts chapter 12. His life was in danger. The church was being persecuted. It was a dark day for Peter. It was a dark time for the church. But here was the turning point of the whole story, brethren and sisters. Listen carefully. It says, but prayer. But prayer. May the Lord write those words upon your heart today as never before. What was it that changed the situation in Jerusalem those many years ago?
What was it that delivered Peter? What was it that saved the church? It was prayer. The prayers of the Lord's people. Do you remember how the great Puritan Thomas Watson summed up that story? He said it was the angel that fetched Peter out of prison, but it was prayer that fetched the angel. It was prayer that made the difference. It's a great illustration, that story of Peter in prison in Jerusalem. It's a great illustration, a great lesson of the power of the prayers of the people of God. And may that encourage you as we come to a special season of prayer this afternoon. If there's one thing, brethren and sisters, that you should do as a Christian, if there's one thing that you should never forget in the days in which we live, if there's one meeting that you should never be absent from, if there's one meeting that you should never be diverted from and discouraged from attending, it is the prayer meeting of the church. What is the greatest, what is the most important thing that you can do for your country at this hour? It is to pray for the Lord's help and for the Lord's blessing. Remember, our help doesn't come from Stormont. Our help doesn't come from Westminster. Our help as the people of God doesn't come from Europe. The Lord has appointed the powers that be. They're ordained of God. They have a rightful place in all the purposes of the Lord. But remember, brethren and sisters, our help comes from the Lord. And we need to cry to him, as David did in his day. And hence the presbytery's call for special seasons of prayer. Can I point out to you that word help? I emphasized it to you at the beginning of the reading. It's translated in different ways in the scriptures. It's an interesting study in itself. As the margin shows, it's also translated by the word save. You think of familiar verses, verses that you know well. In Isaiah, we're told, look unto me and be ye saved. It's the same word in the original. Happy art thou, O Israel, O people saved by the Lord. The words of Moses in Deuteronomy. The word is also translated by the word delivered. In the book of Judges, it says, delivered them out of the hand of their enemies. Each time, it's the same word. Therefore, the prayer, brethren and sisters, of the psalmist and our prayer, the petition that we should offer is this: Lord, save. Come and save this country. Come, Lord, and deliver this nation at this hour. Come and deliver this nation of ours out of the hands of our enemies. That's the situation that we're in, brethren and sisters. And that's how we need to pray as the people of God. And I urge you to do that. To do that this very day. Set the time aside for prayer. So how do we live in such dark days? Supplication is one of the lessons we learn from the psalm. Can I mention also, in the second place, the matter of occupation? Can I stress to you that the psalmist was a laborer? The psalmist was a worker. Wasn't a man that was lazy or unemployed, especially spiritually unemployed. He was a man that was occupied in the Lord's service. You think of the word help. You're crying for help. That indicates someone that's working, someone that's putting in the effort, but they feel their need, they feel their limitations, they recognize that they can't do it all themselves. But the psalmist wasn't going to sit still, wasn't going to sit around, wasn't going to sit idle in those wicked days. He didn't say or think, in these wicked days, it's not worth doing anything, there's no point in trying. No, the psalmist had a different attitude. He had a different outlook. He was going to do all he could. He was going to live for the Lord, even in his own day and generation, dark though it may be. He was going to work for Christ. And can I ask you, brethren and sisters, are you doing that? Can I ask every believer in the meeting today, are you doing a work for the Lord? You think of Mary, the box of alabaster that she broke, anointed the Savior with. The Savior commended her greatly for her labors. He said of her, she has done what she could. And you think of that. Have you done what you could for the Savior?
as Mary did. You may not be able to do what others can do. You may not have the opportunity. You may not have the gifts. You may not have the time to do what others can do. But have you done what you could? Have you done what you can in the service of Christ? Let me remind you of what the book of Nehemiah records of those that builded the walls of Jerusalem. It says the people had a mind to work. And that's what made the difference, brethren and sisters. That's why the work of Nehemiah was blessed and prospered as it did. And that's what's needed, brethren and sisters, among the Lord's people. That's what's needed among our congregation at this time, as we seek to do what we can for the Lord in the evil day in which we're found. We need a mind to work. A mind to work for the Lord, for the cause of Christ, for the cause of the gospel. A mind to work for the extension of his kingdom. And I pray the Lord might give that to you. Let me urge you all today, whoever you are, let me urge you all, work for the Lord. Work for the night is coming, as the old hymn says. Work while you can. Do a work for Christ while you still have the health, while you still have the strength, while you still have the time and still have the opportunity. Do you remember the words of our motto text? Must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh. What solemn words those are. The night cometh when no man can work. The warning is, the opportunity that you have will soon be gone. The opportunity to serve him, it'll be soon be gone. Amen and women. Mr. Paisley had a very famous sermon title, Caught Up or Caught On. And I wonder which it'll be for you when the Saviour comes again. You've, I'm sure, experienced of people been caught on at work. They've been idle. They're fiddling away the day. They're not getting the job done. And in comes the boss. And they're caught on. And so it will be for many Christians when the Saviour comes again. Do you remember the man that buried his talent? He didn't use it. He didn't work with it. He didn't make it profitable. And the master said when he came, thou wicked and slothful servant. And you know, there's going to be many Christians hear those same words, get that same rebuke from the Saviour when he comes again. Didn't use your talents. Didn't work with the gifts, the things the Lord gave you, the Lord blessed you with. Remember, he gave you those things to use for him, to use in his service. John speaks of those who will be ashamed before him at his coming. It's not a challenge today to be ashamed. When the Lord comes, to be ashamed. One of the reasons is because they'll be caught on. Will you be one of those in that number? Maybe you would argue this morning, but my efforts are so little. What I can do is so feeble. Can I remind you, brethren and sisters, the words of that lovely hymn, little is much when God is in it. The little that you have, give it to him. Let him bless it. Let him use it. You think of the lad with the two fishes, the five loaves of bread. Didn't the Lord take it and use it mightily? And I want you to know today, he can do the same for you, and he can do the same with you. However little the resources and the ability that you think that you have, that you can give to him. The Savior exhorts us all today, occupy until I come. He's coming again. And what are we to do? We're to occupy. It's a commercial term. Think of the businessman working hard to make his enterprise profitable. And that's how the Lord wants you to labour for him. That's how we're to labour for the Master. We're to be earnest. We're to be diligent about our Father's business. And we're to be diligent about his business, whether in season or out of season. Whether the times are good or whether the times are bad. You're to work for the Lord, and you're to seek to do a work for God. And I encourage you to do that. today, brethren and sisters. So how do we live? There's a lesson about supplication. There's a lesson about our occupation. And there's one other lesson, and that's the lesson about dedication. Think of the words in the text that are used of the Lord's people. Godly and faithful. Help, Lord. The godly man ceaseth. The faithful faileth from among the children of men. Don't those two words, godly, faithful, don't they indicate dedication? Those that are consecrated to the Lord and consecrated to his work. Can I ask you today, do those words describe you, your life, your character, your Christian character, your Christian testimony, godly, faithful? Are you living a life holy, completely, for Christ, for him? The idea of that word godly is living for God and living like God. Remember, we're to become more like Christ. And can I remind you, brethren and sisters, as you think of that, living a godly life, can I remind you, you cannot serve God and mammon. That's the warning of Christ himself. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and materialism, material things. Many try. Even many Christians try. But the fact is, it can't be done. It's an impossibility. And don't think for one minute, as many Christians do, don't you think for one moment that you're the exception. Because you're not. It can't be done. So which is it for you today? Which is your life dedicated to? Which is first place? God or mammon? Do you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, knowing that all these things will be added on to you? You know, some Christians are so busy making money they don't come to the prayer meeting. So busy. Their life's absorbed with it. So busy making money, they've no time to do something for the Lord. And then they want you to think they're so spiritual by the way they talk. Do you know the reality? The only person that you're fooling is yourself. Certainly not fooling me, not fooling any other Christian. And I can tell you this for sure. However pious you may think you sound, you're not fooling the Lord by the way you live. There was a man in a church many years ago, and he was known as ever faithful, ever sure. Didn't matter what they were doing, what meeting was on. He was a man that could be depended upon to be there, to give us help, to lift his heart in prayer. You like that? That the sort of Christian you are? The fact is, men and women, that's the sort of Christian the Lord is looking for. And that's the sort of Christian our land needs. Faithful and godly. You think of this question today. What does our land need today? We look out on Ulster, look out on the United Kingdom. What does our land need today? It's a time of crisis. It's a time of great confusion. What does Ulster need? What does the UK need? What does it need more than anything else, men and women? I can tell you this. It's not more men and women of wealth and learning and wisdom and position, and all of those things have their place. It's not a new election and a new government and a new deal and a new prime minister. Some of those things might make a little change for the good. As you think of what our land needs today more than anything else, I want to urge you to lift your eyes off puny little men and women, because that's all they are. The greatest of the politicians in Britain or in Europe. Get your eyes off them today. And back on the Lord and his power and his purposes. Because the fact is, the greatest need of this land, men and women, is godly men and godly women. Men and women of prayer. Men and women of power. the power of God's Spirit resting upon them. Men and women of purpose, purpose to serve the Lord with all their heart and with all their days. What our land needs today, more than anything else, is those who will live for God and live for Him alone. Those who will live for God and live for God whatever the cost. Can I ask you today, will you be such a Christian, such a child of God? You might say to me this morning, it can't be done. We live in different days. We live in this dark, wicked, end time age. There's too much evil. There's too much wickedness to really live aright for the Lord. Do you know the fact is, that argument, it's a lie from the pit. You think of Enoch in the book of Jude. There's a New Testament referenced to Enoch. And we're told of Enoch, he lived in not days of revival. He lived in ungodly days. In fact, four times over in the one verse, his day is described as an ungodly day. Ungodly among them, ungodly deeds, ungodly committed, ungodly sinners. Four times over. The Lord leaves you in absolutely no doubt that Enoch's day was a wicked time. But let me ask you this. What is the great testimony recorded of Enoch in the Bible? And as you think of that question, remember it in the context, the backdrop of the wicked day in which he lived. What is the great testimony recorded of Enoch in the Bible? That only one other man is given in all the book of God. It was this. He walked with God. He walked with God. He stood out, men and women, as a light in the darkness. And I want you to learn, I want you to see from that, no matter what people say and how they want to argue and how they want to rationalize, it is possible to live for God in the worst of times, in the worst of days. You think of Daniel. He remained faithful to the Lord in Babylon, the worst of places. No more dark, evil place on the earth at that time. He remained faithful to the Lord even when his life was in danger. And one of the reasons for that was this. When he was a lad, still in his teens, he purposed in his heart he would not defile himself with the king's portion. He purposed in his heart and he determined he was going to live for the Lord. Even there, even in Babylon, he was determined he was going to stand firm for God. And brethren and sisters, every one of you here today, I urge you to do the same. That's the need of the hour. The need of the hour, the day in which we live. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm. And dare to make it known. Don't go with the flow. That's too easy a thing. Don't be influenced by the crowd. Stand for God. Be dedicated to Him. Be a Christian that's dedicated to the things of God and dedicated to the service of Jesus Christ. How to live? How to live for the Lord in bad times? Supplication, occupation, dedication. I say in conclusion, in these times in which we're found in the providence of God, in such a day, in such an hour, in the history of our country, special seasons of prayer have been called on such a day. I believe, men and women, this text is a word from God. It's a word in season, a word to guide. It's a word to challenge, a word to encourage us all. And I pray the Lord will use it and bless it to every heart in this meeting. Here's what we need to do. Cry out, help, Lord. for the godly man, determined to be such, the godly man ceaseth, the faithful fail. May the Lord make us faithful to death. The faithful fail from among the children of men. 520, the closing hymn. Go labour on, spend and be spent, thy joy to do the Father's will.